Welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are going to begin this evening with chapter 6. And chapter 6 gives us instructions concerning the Nazirite vow and the blessing that God instructed Moses to command Aaron to speak over the children of Israel. So let's take a look at the first four verses. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to a vow of a Nazirite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk.
So this is what we know today as a Nazirite vow. And the thing to understand is this is under the law. And everything dealing with the law, Jesus was to fulfill, right? Okay. So keep that in mind. So to understand this, what is it that the person who's taking this vow and understand the magnitude of vow, it's not just, I think I'll do this if I get into it and I don't care for it, I'll just drop it. No, this is a vow to the Lord. This is an absolute commitment. You're giving your word to the Lord. And so what are you actually doing? What is a person doing when they take a Nazirite vow? He tells you there at the very beginning to separate oneself to the Lord. Separate from what? In other words, you're going to be separate from all those around you. You're going to be different. Now, you have to abstain from this. You have to abstain. Obviously, he's talking about anything coming from the grapes, the vine. All right, you have to abstain from all that. And the hair can't be cut during that period of time that you're under that vow. And so what you're doing is making yourself distinctly different from everybody else by taking that vow, that Nazirite vow. Well, this is pointing to, this is a type, this is a shadow. And so what sets us apart and makes us distinctly different from all those around us is not like the denomination I grew up in practiced external abstinence. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. And, the men had a certain way they wore their hair, the women had a certain way they wore their hair, and clothes and no makeup and all that kind of stuff for the women. And that was just something external that made you look different, but it didn't necessarily make you different. You could look different, but be as mean as the devil. You understand? Bad spirit and all that. And so when we're looking at this Nazirite vow, I believe it's pointing to what really sets us apart. And you'll find it in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be. And that's where I want to put my emphasis. You shall be. Not you shall go and be. You shall be before you go. Now what he told them, you wait in Jerusalem. You tarry into Jerusalem until you endued with power from on high. In other words, get you being right before you go. Then when you go, you're going to be different from all the rest of them. And so that distinction is going to be, if I can say it this way, a drawing card. Not that you're drawing attention to yourself, you're drawing attention to Jesus Christ, who makes you different. The Spirit of God dominating your life makes you different from those around you. And it's one of two things. You'll affect people one way or the other. They'll look at you and say, that person's different. I'd like to be like them. Or they'll say, I hate that, but I don't want to be around that person. You understand? There's no neutral ground. And so with the Nazarite, they could be mocked. They could be made fun of, you understand. And looked down at as lesser than, because they were being distinctly different than everybody else. They're not participating in what other people do. Now, a born-again believer full of the Spirit of God should not be participating in the things that the world participates in. We should have no interest in the activities of the world. Now, people don't want to hear that today. Our interest should be in the activities of God. I didn't say church. In the activities of God. I'm not talking about social events and all the things that the churches do. I'm talking about the work of the Lord, the activity of the Lord, representation of the Lord. Wherever you are, do you understand? You are distinctly different then. You don't do these things other people are doing. Why? Because you've given yourself over to the Lord. You've separated yourself from the world by receiving the Spirit of God on the inside of you that makes you different. He gives you the power to be the witness, okay? And so the Nazarites just said, Lord, I give myself over to you. Now, that was for a period of time. They could do it for a short period of time or a longer period of time. You remember Samson? You remember what the angel told his mother and his father? That he's not to cut his hair, and he's not to drink of the wine, and he's not to touch dead body. Right? Is that not a Nazarite vow? And his mom was warned, don't you do it while you're pregnant. You understand? Once she gives birth, then that's okay, but not while she's pregnant with him. This child is to be separated from the womb. Well, from the time of our new birth, we're to be separated to the Lord. And this is not a temporary thing. This is an eternal thing. We're to keep ourselves separated from the world. In the Revelation, he says, come out from among them. And actually, if you look at the word church, the Greek word is ekklesia, which simply means a calling out. And if you do the history of the word, you'll find it is a small group called out from a larger group. You see it in government. Out of all the population of the nation, it's only a small group that's actually called out and runs the nation. You with me? And so the church is called out of the systems of the world. And religion is a system of the world. God did not ordain religious denominations and all this type of stuff. God did not ordain Judaism. Men did that. God gave a constitution, the law of Moses, as it's called. That's what God gave. But you have to come out of the systems and be separated to the Lord. And that's what, to me, the Nazarite vow is actually teaching or pointing to, a separation. Separation. I know when I came out of the world. And it took a long time for them to get the world out of me. You understand? I grew up in church, but the world was in me. Not the whole Sunday school, but the world was in me. But I can tell you this, when the Spirit of God came in, the world started being driven out of me. I'm no longer interested in those kingdoms that at one time dominated my life. And I'm going to tell you, unhesitantly, that the average church-going attender is under the dominion of the world, not the dominion of the kingdom of God. They're not separated from the world to God. Most people are thinking like the world thinks. And here's the thing. I was thinking about this last week. The kingdom to which you subject yourself to will control or input into your thinking to where you will be hearing the voice of that kingdom. Now, I want you to think about this. This is far more profound than anybody realizes. People talk about, well, you know, I heard a voice saying to me, or I was prompted to do this. Which kingdom did that voice come from? Religion? Tradition? Or did that voice come out of the kingdom of God to where the Spirit of God said it? This is why he's telling us to guard our hearts. Because what you're subjecting yourself to is going to influence you. And so that means my thinking has to be separated. You with me? See, people, I guess if you equated the Nazarite vow to what would we be doing today that would depict that, probably the closest thing to it would be fasting. But how many people fast, but their heart's not with God? What did Jesus say in Isaiah? I think it's 57. Do you call this a fast? Just because you're abstaining from food and you abstain from this and you abstain from that, that's not what I call a fast. Because you still, I don't have your heart. You understand? And God is looking for the heart of man, not for the body of man. And if he gets your heart, the body will be doing what it needs to be doing. But people can be doing things with their body and God not have their heart. Like the religious people of Jesus' day. He said, you worship me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. So they're not separated from the world. The world's interjecting the thoughts in. They're hearing the voice from the world, not the voice from the kingdom of God. And I've had a lot of people over the years that have said, you know, the Lord said it, and I know right away the Lord didn't say it because that didn't come out of his kingdom. Because his kingdom is a kingdom of truth. His kingdom agrees with his word. His kingdom agrees with his Holy Spirit. But they think, because they've been subjected to this kingdom, that they're hearing the Lord. The devil will talk to you. The devil will quote you scripture. He quoted Jesus' scripture. He appears as an angel of light. His ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. You better know your kingdom. Stay separated. Stay separated to God. Get your mind on God. Let God interject the thoughts in you. You understand? You won't be hearing God's voice watching evening news. You're going to be hearing the voice of the world. And that will affect how you think. Same way with anything else that comes through the media of the world. It affects how you think. So we have to keep ourselves separated from the world to God if we want to distinctly hear God. I wish I could convey to you what is on the inside of me, but I don't have the vocabulary to do it. And people think that I've gone off with the deep end. Well, they thought Jesus was deranged. His own mother and brothers went to get him. And what did he say? Who's my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who do the will of God. Now, those things are hard sayings that people don't want to hear. Well, how dare you to say that about your mother? You don't respect your mother. Does my mother respect my God? Then who's more important to me, my God or my mother? We have to get things in priority. You separate yourself. That's what the Nazarite did. He separated himself.
And the separation that we see with the Nazarite and the separation that we experience needs to be, and Pete mentioned this, it all goes back to a matter of the heart. We were talking about this afternoon. A person could separate themselves as a Nazarite and go through the practices of abstaining from anything dealing with the grape or the vine, abstain from cutting their hair, and it be motivated by a work, not motivated by a pure intention to serve the Lord with all their heart. And I think we can get confused, or I don't know what the word would be, deceived, into thinking everything's okay if we're doing the right things. But God looks on the heart and the intentions of the heart, and only you can examine your own heart. Only you know why you do what you do. Only I know why I do what I do, and only the Lord knows why I do what I do. And so to me, the big thing that we need to be thinking about here is, what's motivating you? Is your motivation out of a desire to be obedient to what God is telling you to do? Is your motivation based on faith when you've heard the Lord speak to you? Or is your motivation based on, well, I have so much respect for this person, I need to just do this. Or the right thing to do would be to do this. What's the motivation? Is the motivation to get accolades from men, praise from men, praise from religion, tradition, leaders of a church? Am I looking for an applause from men?
You know, the thing we're talking about, there's a group, I guess if you want to call it denomination, they're called separatists. I'm not talking about separatists. I'm not talking about going into some commune and acting weird and stupid. I'm talking about having such heart convictions and passion for the Lord that you just want to be with Him and go to the places and do the things that He would do, the places He would go and the things that He would do. You know, growing up in legalism, I grew up in legalism. Well, they wouldn't, you know, as a kid and a teenager, I couldn't go to certain places. But I can tell you right now, my heart was not right. I didn't go because I didn't want a whipping. Not because I had a desire not to go, because my desire was to go. You understand? But today, I don't need anybody telling me, abstain from this, abstain from that, don't do this, don't do that. My heart motivates me. My heart wants to please the Lord. And so can I please the Lord thinking about me? The obvious answer to that is no. You please the Lord by thinking about the Lord. Lord, what do you want? Not what do I want? And people don't understand that. You know, your own family doesn't understand that. Why don't you do this? Why don't you ever want to have fun? I'm not interested in the fun of the world. I'm interested in pleasing the Father. And the world can't understand that. You separate yourself from the world by choice. We're not talking about willpower. We're talking about heart change. To where God's nature is motivating you toward His presence. And you don't find the presence of God in the activities of the world. You don't even find the presence of God, the activities of the modern day church. Because it is infiltrated by the world.
So the Nazarite was one that took a vow to separate to the Lord. Willfully doing this. And we've talked about the things that this person was to abstain from. And then we've mentioned this already, but let me read verse 5. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall be no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. Y'all remember what we've said, how we can define holy? Is distinctly different, right? He shall be distinctly different during this period of separation.
Yeah, he's separated to God. And here you don't see a set time of a Nazarite. He says as long as the days of his separation are. If he says, Lord, all right, I'm just going to give myself to you for the next week. And I'm not, I'm going to just make a vow to you. And I'm going to take this Nazarite vow. Or it could be a month. It could be 6 months. But when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, we enter into covenant with him, that's a vow, that I'll serve you all the days of my life. In other words, my separation, I'm telling you that my separation is forever. That's a vow to the Lord. And so all the days of that vow, you have to stay separated from the things of the world. In this case, it was external things. You understand? Mm-hmm. But Jesus is not looking on the externals. He's looking on the heart. And so if you keep your heart separated, you'll keep your body separated. Just because you keep your body separated doesn't mean your heart is. I know that. And most of you do. God wants us to live separated lives. Now, I don't know what all the significance of these things. was. Why specifically, dealing with things from the grape? You understand that when one took a Nazarite vow, not only could he not drink the wine, the vinegar, the grape, he couldn't eat the husk of the grape. In other words, he couldn't just go out and pick a grape and eat that. Well, what's wrong with eating the grape? You've separated yourself to the Lord, and you've taken a vow that you won't. He couldn't eat a raisin because that comes from the grape. You understand? And so when you look at it, it's like, what in the world is wrong with you? What's wrong with the grape? What's wrong with the grape? You're going to tell me it's a sin not to eat a grape? It's a sin a sin to eat a grape or a sin to eat a raisin? That's not the sin. Did you separate yourself to the Lord? Then the sin's not keeping you vow. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to belabor it. I hope you get the message there. And there's more to be said even in these verses.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to make it even more difficult.
Mm-hmm. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, or for his brother, or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head.
Now think about that. He's not to be around a dead body. Well, boy, isn't he something? Calling himself separated to God and won't even honor his father. His father died. He couldn't get near the body. The mother died. A brother died. A sister died. No, he can't break the vow. And so it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break a vow. And so you go into this thing not blind. You go into this thing saying, if I make this vow, then any of these things that come up will not release me from the vow. I'm under the vow. So I can't defile myself even for my own immediate family. I can't defile myself. Separation. We're not to defile our hearts even for our own immediate family. God is always to be the priority. Always. No compromise. No compromise. God does not compromise. God does not negotiate. And so if we are one with him, then we can't compromise and we can't negotiate, regardless of what people think. It's what God thinks. Many years ago, I said something to the Lord about what the people thought. And the Lord said to me, don't you ever ask yourself what the people think. You ask yourself what I think. That's all that matters. What do I think? And if you do what I think is right, it doesn't matter what people say. And so don't even pay any attention to the people. Keep your mind on the Lord. And people don't understand. Well, I thought you was a minister. I thought your attention was supposed to be on the people. Your attention is supposed to be on the Lord. Now, that's what people don't understand about ministry. Ministry is ministering to God. God will tell you how to deal with the people. And he'll do right by the people. He knows what they need. They know what they want. And generally, what they want is not what they need. But God's going to do what's in your best interest. He's not going to stroke your flesh.
You know, as we were reading this, and I was thinking about the separating yourself and from the dead, how we have to be so careful not to put societal expectations and tie them to the things of God. Because the things of God may be contrary to the expectations. For instance, Jesus said you have to be willing to forsake all.
Or you cannot be
my disciple.
Cannot. It is so you may not. You cannot be. And so here again, it goes back to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is done on the inside. It's not what you say on the outside. It's not what you go through the motions of doing. Is your heart right with God? I can do the right thing with the wrong motive. God's not looking at the thing. God's looking at the motive. You read the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. He talks about all our works will be tried. They're going to go through the fire. And if they won't pass the fire test, they'll all be burned up. And I've got a feeling there's going to be a lot of works burned up because they were done with impure motives. It wasn't motivated by the Spirit of God. And everything we're doing should be motivated by the Spirit of God. And if we're led by the Spirit, which we're told to be, then what we do will be motivated by the Spirit of God. And we'll be doing the right thing, whether people think it's right or not. We'll be pleasing the Father. We'll be doing His will. Not ours, not theirs. It's a separated life. And I find that people don't want to live a separated life. Even preachers don't want a separated life. They want to take a vacation and a sabbatical from the ministry and all these type things. And I can't imagine. Or when you get a certain age, you retire from the ministry. I've had people ask me about retiring. I said, I will never retire. That is not even on my agenda. When I finish my course, then get me out of here. Now, I'm not interested in hanging around and getting involved in the things of the world. I'm here for purpose, not pleasure. But I get great pleasure out of fulfilling His purpose. Does that make sense to you? Okay.
You're good. Verse 8. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord.
Holy means he's separated to the Lord. That means if he's separated to the Lord, he's going to be distinctly different from the world, from everybody else around him.
And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. I'll stop right there.
Now think about that. He knows all this before he goes into the vow. You understand? This is all written out in the law. So here you've separated yourself from the Lord, and the guy standing beside of you drops dead. You didn't have a thing to do with it, but now you're defiled because you're not supposed to be going near the dead body. So what do? You start over. You shave your head. And all those days prior to that don't count. Now, there's a certain procedure that you had to go through as far as the cleansing. Mm-hmm. You want to go ahead and read that?
And on the eighth day, he shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons.
Two turtle doves, not turtles. Mm-hmm. I don't know why in the world they put turtles there. It's turtle doves. Okay?
Turtle doves. Two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other...
Note that, a sin offering.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hallow his head that same day.
Now, you think about this. What did that man do? Sin is missing the mark. He made a vow, a Nazarite vow. And in that vow, you can't be near a dead person, okay? See, missed the mark. Whether voluntary or involuntary, he missed the mark. Consequently, he had to bring a sin offering as well as a burnt offering. So once again, it says, hallow his head that same day. In other words, this is the procedure that's going to get him into right standing, if you will, by the law. Now, here again, I have to emphasize, we are not under the law. We're giving you the detail of this to show you what it's pointing to. We want you to know the principle of what it's pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
We're not telling you to go out here and take a Nazarite vow.
Right.
That's not what this is all about. So don't get into the legalistic side of this thing. Let's see the spiritual truth of it. Amen. Now, time's up, so we'll stop here and take a break and come back to the subject, I guess.